7. I took a trip to the family live over in Perth, and so and our family come from Perth. My mum was born over there, and so our extended family live over in Perth, and so we took a family trip back there in 1997. And my family go to church, they're Christians over there, so we attended a church service with them on one of the Sundays that we happened to be in Perth. And speaking on this particular Sunday was an incredible guest speaker who has an incredible story, and I felt led to share this story with you today on this Good Friday. Her name is Michelle Hamilton, and she's up on the screen now, and again, has an incredible story which I'm going to share with you all today. And as a little wee lad as I was back then, I was awestruck by this story, and it actually drew me closer to God and opened my eyes to the reality of who God was in my life at the time. But Michelle Hamilton is just your ordinary woman, well, she was at the time. She was your everyday working woman. She taught in Japan, and she taught English as a second language in Japan at the time of this incident that I'm about to talk to you about. And her mum was from a devout Jewish background. So she was a Jew, Jewish background. We were talking about the Jewish nation. If you just want to bring me down a little bit there, Jared, it's a bit of an echo, just slightly there, mate. She was a Jew, and then also her dad was from a Catholic background. So a very mixed background growing up for her. In the late 80s, Michelle and her mum booked a trip to the Philippines. And the reason for this was because her mum was on the verge of a nervous breakdown. She was stressed, she was overwhelmed, she was depressed. And so Michelle thought, we'll book this holiday to the Philippines, we'll help alleviate some of that stress and that concern for you. And so they went away to the Philippines together. And they hadn't seen each other for some time, so naturally they were excited when they saw each other at the airport for the first time in quite some time. And when they saw each other, Michelle expected her mother, Michelle, to actually look stressed and quite downcast and all that you would expect, but she wasn't. She actually looked fine, quite radiant, excited. And Michelle was like, what's going on here? And she asked the question of her mum, because she wasn't with her father at the time, have you found a new man? And to her astonishment, Michelle's mum said, yes, I have found a new man, but he's not the man that you probably think he is. And Michelle went, okay, what, you know, what kind of man else? Am I missing something here? What's going on here? And her mum said, I have found a new man. I've actually found Jesus Christ. And I've accepted him as my Messiah, my Lord and my Savior. And Michelle took Michelle by surprise, and she was worried that her mum was going to go on about this Jesus character throughout their holiday. Michelle just wanted to enjoy this time together. After a little while, Michelle tells a story on the island where they were. She was feeling adventurous, and so she wanted to go out into the ocean. She wanted to hire a boat and travel around to this island where people had seen natives, the Filipino natives, and she was keen to go and see these natives that everyone were talking about. And so again, keen for a bit of adventure, she cons her mum into coming with her, and initially hesitant, her mum Michelle agrees, and the two of them hire a small, narrow canoe-like vessel, like the one on the screen right now, to take them out to this island. And if you've seen a map of the Philippines, I don't have one for you, but it's surrounded by water. There's water everywhere. It's a beautiful part of the world. After a little while on this boat, Michelle's mum, Rochelle, isn't too keen. And she sees a massive stingray float underneath this canoe. And she's like, that's it, Michelle. Take me back. I'm done. I can't cope with it anymore. So Michelle reluctantly paddles back down, back to shore. Her mum gets off. And the last words that Rochelle says to Michelle is, just don't go out too far, Michelle. Don't go out too far. And Michelle was like, whatever, Mum, that's fine. I'm a big girl now. I can take care of myself. I'll be fine. And so off she goes on her little adventure to see these natives around on this island. And what happens next is the reason why I felt led to share this story with you here today. Because this is a story of God's love for his people. Today is a story of God's love for all of humanity. And what happens is that Michelle paddled towards this island, and the current actually took her further and further out to sea. And no matter how hard she paddled back to shore, she just could not get back to the island. She could not get back into shore. And she got to the point where she had to jump into the water and swim for land, but the swim was a 2-kilometer swim back to land. It's a fair way. Has anyone swum 2 kilometres before? I sure haven't. I can't even do 100 metres now without getting puffed, let alone 2 kilometres. But she realised that if she didn't do it, she was going to be spending the next night out in the middle of the South China Sea. And so she gathers her things together. She puts on her snorkeling gear. And she prepares herself to jump in. And out of nowhere, she hears this audible voice, clear as day, saying to her, "Do not leave the boat." It startles her. She looks around and she thought, wow, someone's here to rescue me. There's a rescuer already, but no one was there. And thinking that she was hallucinating, she put her gear together again. She prepares herself to jump in, and again the voice booms to her, "Do not leave the boat." And so she didn't, and in her words, she was more afraid of what that voice would do if she disobeyed it, as opposed to spending the night at sea. So she did stay in the boat. And while this was all unfolding, her mum, Rochelle, was back on the mainland wondering where Michelle was. And as day turned to night, you can imagine the fear, the worry, the concern that was engulfing her mother in this moment. She got out her things. She got her things together. She walked up to where she last saw Michelle. She paced up and down the beach, looking out to the horizon, hoping to see her daughter starting to return. She actually saw a similar vessel out on the horizon, and she got excited, thinking that was her. She went to the beach, looked out, but it was 2 people on this boat. It wasn't Michelle. And after a little longer, she started to get severely worried. And so she enlisted the help of a man called David, who her and Michelle had only met just a few days prior on the beach. And David decided to head out with another man to see if they could find Michelle. But I want us to put ourselves in Rochelle, the mother's shoes, for just a moment. Can you imagine the worry, the concern, if your daughter was out at sea all alone? You don't know what's happened to her. You don't know if she's ever going to return. Can you imagine the feelings, the emotions that she would be experiencing in this moment? When your daughter, your child goes off and now they are lost. I've had this similar experience of losing a child, and not to this extent, obviously, but my oldest son, Malachi, when he was 3 years old. We were at a footy game, and afterwards they let you on the field, so we went down to the field, and there was thousands of people down on this field. And I bumped into someone I knew. I was talking to them. I thought my dad had Malachi. We didn't really communicate who had him. And I turned around and I looked to my dad, and I can't see Malachi there. And my heart drops. There's thousands of people in this field. I'm like, where is he? And Dad didn't know. I looked around, and in those brief moments, I can't tell you the sheer dread, concern, worry, and anxiety that I felt. Thankfully, he was running around having a good old time. We bumped into him again, and I was just thanking God. But I don't want to ever experience that feeling ever again. Now put yourself in Rochelle's shoes. Again, you've just said to your daughter, don't go out too far. The day is turning to night, and you are severely worried that you're never going to see your daughter ever again. Do you know it's the same with our Heavenly Father? Since the moment he created us in his love, he created us to be free. Amen? He created us to be free, to do what we pleased, obviously within the parameters of his ways and his statutes. And he even yelled to us from the shoreline, go and enjoy my creation. Just don't go out too far. Go and enjoy my creation. Just don't go out too far. But as we've been learning about in our series, the story of God, we disobeyed that call. And we continually disobey that call time after time. However, we have learned, and we have been learning, how God step by step, story by story, has gone about redeeming and rescuing this world from the devastating consequences of sin. And as we've been looking at, the process started by making some incredible promises to the patriarchs of our faith, most particularly Abraham. And that flowed into calling himself a people. And a people that were called to be a light to the nations. A city on a hill, as it were, salt to the earth. And then we learned about how God gave these people a land, and that land, and in that land, within that land, he would appoint them kings. He would appoint them prophets, and that he would continue to be merciful to them if they remained faithful to him. But as we saw over the last few weeks, they didn't do that. They turned their backs on him time and time again, and they failed in their responsibility time and time again. And so something had to give. Something had to be done, for this great rescue seemingly wasn't going to plan. This path of redemption seemingly wasn't going to plan. But if we go back to the promises that were promised to Abraham, if it was never meant to be the nation of Israel, it was never meant to be those people who were going to be that light. Their role was to merely point towards the light that was to come. Amen. The Jewish Messiah who they had been yearning for, that they had been hoping for, that they had been praying would come. Their story was about revealing this Savior to the whole entire world and revealing and pointing to this Savior who would bring about the redemption for all of humanity. This Savior, this Messiah, had been the one they had been yearning for. He was the spiritually anointed one, a Savior that would come from Bethlehem and would come to fulfill spiritually what King David was able to do physically. He was to be the true and perfect son of David, the champion of Israel, the one that the nation of Israel again had been yearning for. The one who would fulfill God's promise to Abraham that through your seed, the whole entire world would be blessed. And it was this king, this Savior, this Messiah who would reveal himself in an incredible and real way to Michelle Hamilton all those years ago out in the middle of the South China Sea. For as she moved further and further out to sea, the waves just got bigger and bigger and bigger, so much so that she was terrified of these mountainous waves of water coming down on her. All she could do was frantically bale buckets of water out of the canoe to stop it from sinking and hold tightly to the end of this canoe and ride these waves like a roller coaster. Has anyone been out in the ocean when there's been a storm? I know Lynn says yes. Andrew in the Navy. It's a scary, scary experience, isn't it? I saw photos of a friend of mine who was out recently in Queensland out in the ocean. It's a scary experience. Can you imagine being in a little tiny canoe out on waves like this? And during her first night out there, she was actually hit by a tropical storm. All night there was thunder, there was lightning, there was torrential rain, and almost instantly she was hit by a wave that took her off out of her canoe, and she felt as though she was drowning. She scrambled, she swam, she finally got to the surface, she clung to the side of this canoe, but she couldn't turn it back over. It was like suction to the surface of the water. But she didn't know this at the time, but she would then hold on to that canoe in the middle of the South China Sea for the next 2 days, waiting to be rescued. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The very moment that you and I committed our first sin, the very moment that we chose to reject God and his ways, it was although that we were pulled out into the current of death. And it was like we had been left for dead in the middle of the South China Sea with no way back to God, with no rescuer, no redeemer anywhere in sight. But God in his sovereignty and his love, he sent for help, amen? He sent himself, he sent his son. Everything that we have looked at over the past 6 to 7 weeks was ultimately pointing to this reality. It was pointing to the reality that was to come, this messianic figure. And it was always going to end with God undertaking this rescue all by himself. And it was the same with Michelle Hamilton's mother, Rochelle. Again, as a loving mother would do, she was leaving no stone unturned in order to have her daughter safely in her arms once again. She was leaving no stone unturned to be able to bring about this rescue for her daughter. And Michelle had faith that her mum would come to her rescue. And in her book, she talks about always looking up to the sky, hoping to see a plane or a helicopter coming past, or looking to the water to hopefully see a boat coming forward with her mum on it. And her mum would say to her, "Michelle, it's okay, we're here to rescue you. It's over." But this rescuer was nowhere in sight. And as Michelle watched the sun go down on her second night, she began to be engulfed with fear. And at this stage, her canoe was only a little piece of wood. And she started to wonder how she was ever going to make it through the night for a second night. And it was in that moment that she began to face the reality that she may die that evening. And it was at that point where she asked herself the question, where am I heading next? Where am I going next? What is going to end up to me? She had no idea where she was going next. And it was in that point that she realized that there was a heaven and there was a hell. She had a destination. She had a decision. She had a choice. And the reality for each and every one of us here today is that we all have that same choice too, don't we? We all have a destination. We all have a decision. Each and every one of us have a choice. And Michelle had only ever been to Sunday school growing up. She was really young when she went to Sunday school. She didn't come back. She didn't come from a church background, as I said. She never read the Bible in her life. But in that moment, she was able to recall one particular scripture. Do you know what that scripture was? John 14:6. All those years ago in Sunday school, she was able to recall this one, which says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is an incredible story. But what was even more incredible was, as I said, her mum had just become a Christian. As a Jewish person, she accepted Jesus as her Messiah. And she told Michelle that she wasn't going to preach to her on this trip, but her hope and prayer, the only thing that she said to her in this regard, is that at one time in her life, God may get her to a point where she is on her knees, that all she can do is to cry out to Jesus as her Savior. Now, Michelle sort of shrugged this off and said, "Yeah, thanks, Mum, that's nice." But here she was, in this moment, on her knees, as much as she could, metaphorically and spiritually, needing a Savior, needing someone to rescue her. And in that moment, Michelle accepted Jesus Christ as her Messiah, her Lord and Savior. And she believed that in that moment that she was spiritually and physically saved. And she made a promise to God that if God saved her life, she would spend the rest of her life telling others about Him. And she looked up to the sky and she asked the question of God, "Am I going to die?" And she did not expect a response, but a booming voice came back to her and says, "No, you are not going to die." And she was so amazed by this response that she asked it again, "Am I going to die?" And the same response came back, "No, Michelle, you are not going to die. You are going to be rescued, you will be saved." And she was so excited by this, but she asked the question, "Hang on a second, if you're going to save me, what do you want from me? Why aren't you going to let me die?" And the voice replied, "I want you to have 100% faith in me. I want you to have 100% faith in me." Michelle didn't really know what that meant, but she was willing to do anything to survive. And her response was, "Okay, I will put 100% faith in you." And from that point on, Michelle experienced some incredible things. Now, she experienced angels coming to her to attend to her. She experienced rescuing from sharks, two sharks that were heading towards her. And God said, "Stay on that path." The sharks maneuvered off. I don't have time to tell you everything that she experienced in this moment. All I can do is encourage you to Google her name, Michelle Hamilton. But look her up on YouTube. I might stand there a bit later on. But from that moment on that she experienced Jesus Christ, her whole entire life changed. But on the third day, out at sea, she was severely dehydrated, she was burnt, and almost starting to lose hope and lose faith. But in that moment that she started to lose hope and faith of being rescued, out of the corner of her eye in the horizon, she saw a Filipino fishing vessel heading towards her. And at a moment, she thought that the vessel hadn't seen her, but then she saw a man on top of the front of the boat, pointing to her. They came to her, they pulled her back up on the boat, and all she could do, she just looked at them in exhaustion, and she collapsed. Moments later, she awoke, she regained consciousness, and she was met by a young man called Nelson Zureta. And Nelson actually spoke good English to Michelle, and he turned to her, and she turned to him and said, "Thank you so much. You don't understand what you've done for me. You've saved my life." Nelson looked at Michelle and said, "It was never me that saved your life. It was never you. It was God that saved your life." Michelle looked at him and said, "You're right." And she realized in that moment what the scripture Ephesians 2:8 says. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from who? It's a gift from God." This is such an incredible story, amen? An amazing story. And the reason I felt led to share this story with you on this Good Friday is one, first and foremost, because I believe there are some here today on site and online that are struggling with their faith, who are doubting God and doubting His work in your life. But I want to encourage you with this story here today to encourage us to say that God is at work in our lives, amen? He's at work in this world. He's in work in your life and my life. Second of all, others of us here today have been smashed by storms in our life. And we feel like these storms are unrelenting, one after the other. Hardships, difficulties, human sharks in our life, as it were, taking snippets at us. And it feels as though you're drowning. Others still are asking, God is asking you here today to put 100% faith in Him for the situations of life that you are currently experiencing. Michelle and her mum, Rochelle, actually co-authored this book, Saved at Sea. And you can buy it at Coorong, you can buy it at any, I guess, online. I was going to say any good bookstore, you never know. But that's Michelle there, 30 years later. And she now actually runs a ministry called Jonah Ministries, an evangelistic ministry that she's been able to speak all around the world, sharing her story, but also sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And the reality for each and every one of us here today who have accepted Jesus Christ is that you and I have been saved at sea too, amen? We have been saved at sea because of that living reality right there, the cross. But this story, I believe, speaks to the heart of the God that we serve, a God who on a much bigger scale not only cared about Michelle to save her, to rescue her, but each and every one of us. All of humanity. He cared so much for us. He loved us that He would send Himself into the world to die the death that you and I deserved, ultimately so that we may have opportunity of eternal life. He would come to rescue us as well. And this story goes to the heart of God's heart, I believe, the story of the cross. And that is to rescue, to redeem, and this. And His heart in this moment, in this story of Michelle's as well, is not only to rescue and redeem her physically, but also spiritually. He used this moment in her life to rescue her from eternal condemnation, to redeem her from eternal punishment. And there are so many stories, you may have heard of it, of God rescuing people, redeeming people physically in modern times in order that they may be used spiritually in incredible ways. And they would be used ultimately to share the good news of Jesus dying on the cross for the sins of mankind. But do you know that the people of Israel, the Jewish nation, they were scared of the sea because it represented chaos and evil. And so when Jesus came into the world, one of the miracles that He performed for each and every one of us to behold here today was that He calmed the storm. He calmed the storm physically to demonstrate His authority that could only come from the King of the kingdom. Amen. And the psalm that was read out to us, Psalm 29, it reflects this reality, I believe, because it starts with a storm. This Psalm 29, it starts with a storm. What's the last word there? Peace. It starts with a storm, it ends with peace. Verse 10 and 11 says, the Lord sits enthroned over the flood, again demonstrating to Israel that he is in control. Even to those things that they don't understand, the chaos and the evil, the Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. And as we've been looking at the last 7 weeks, it started with a storm. It started with all of humanity turning their backs on him, but it would ultimately end in peace. Amen. This is the reality of what we come to remember and reflect here today. The Christ, the Messiah, would come and rescue and redeem his people by suffering a murderous death and fulfilling the scripture of Isaiah 53 that we started reading at the beginning of this service. He would be the one who would come to crush the enemy's head. And so the reality here today is, what is your response to this incredible reality? Without Christ, we are ultimately like Michelle, aren't we? Michelle Hamilton staring down the barrel of imminent death, spiritually speaking. And the question is, how are you going to respond, in faith or not? And this leads us now into a time of communion. Hopefully, as you walked in, you received your communion cup. But we're going to come now to a time of communion to reflect and to respond on this reality right here. And here on the communion table are symbols of what today is all about. The cup, the crown of thorns, the nail that will pierce into his flesh. Dead flowers representing what this day ultimately represents. And we encourage you to take of the cup in a moment and the bread. But as we do that, I want to read this scripture to you. Romans 3, 22 to 25, which says, but now independently of the law, the righteousness of God is tangible and brought to light through Jesus, the Anointed One. This is the righteousness that the Scriptures prophesied would come. It is God's righteousness made visible through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And now all who believe in him receive that gift, for there is really no difference between us. For we all have sinned and are in need of the glory of God, yet through his powerful declaration of acquittal, God freely gives his righteousness, his gift of love and favor now cascades over us, all because Jesus, the Anointed One, has liberated us from the guilt, punishment, and power of sin. Amen. Jesus' God-given destiny was to be the sacrifice to take away sins, and now he is our mercy seat because of his death on the cross. We come to him for mercy, for God has made a provision for us to be forgiven by faith in the sacred blood of Christ. If you've never put your faith in that reality here today, then in this moment now, I want to invite you to pray a prayer to accept Jesus Christ into your life, just as Michelle Hamilton did all those years ago. I want to encourage you to put your faith in this reality right here, but not just in this reality right here, but what we are coming to celebrate on Easter Sunday as well, his death, but also his resurrection, because he would rise again to conquer all sin, death, and destruction. Amen. And so what we are about to do here by taking communion is to remind ourselves of what he went through so that we may live. And it's not to condemn us. It's not to make us feel shame and guilt. It's actually to free us from that bondage. Free us from that oppression, just as he did with his people out of the nation of Egypt and again in exile. So if you haven't accepted Jesus into your life, I want to implore you to pray this prayer with me now. I'm going to pray this prayer for you to pray, and then I'm going to pray for each and every one of us as we take the cup and the bread this morning as a reflection of our faith in him. So if you haven't accepted Jesus, I encourage you to say these words with me. Bow your heads, meditate on him. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. I accept that I have rebelled against you. I accept that I've turned my back on you. I ask for your forgiveness, and I invite you into my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And Father God, for those who have already accepted this living reality into our lives, I pray, Lord God, that you would move in our lives continually, that you would remind us of your love, so much so that you would come to rescue and redeem us and to make us new again. We pray this in your Son's mighty and wonderful name. Amen. So So I encourage you as the music plays to reflect on this reality right here. Confess your sins to Him. Turn your faces back unto Him. And then hold on to the cup. We'll drink that as a sign of unity together. Stand together and we'll take the cup together in unity to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.